Good morning. How many of you said to someone, "I'm sorry," already today? Anybody? It's kind of a habit, isn't it? It's a funny thing that we teach ourselves. A friend of mine, Jennifer Lear, writes in a parenting column about this and talks about how kind of what we do to our kids. You might have heard of something like this. So imagine, if you will, you put a plate of cookies out, and it's 4 o'clock, and dinner's at 6. And you tell the kid, "Don't eat the cookies. They're for after dinner." And what's the little kid going to do? They're going to eat the cookie. And then what you do, you say, "Now, you better say you're sorry," right? As sort of a threat, almost. Say you're sorry. Don't do it again. Now, if you got young enough kids, what happens if you put the cookie out again later? They'll probably go back to it. And they might not say they're really mean that they're sorry. And that's part of the challenge that she writes about, is that after a while, eventually, just if you do something wrong, you say you're sorry, it's okay, you go on, but you don't necessarily have to go back and really mean that you were sorry, because you might just do it again. Now, how many of you have ever used a computer? Have you ever done anything wrong on the computer? If you have, what do? Well, if you're early on, you turn it off and you turn it back on, right? And it resets it, sort of. And maybe that fixes the problem. For those of us that have been around video games for a lot on and off through our life, if you go back far enough to remember Atari, there was always a reset button. And now in video games, if you make a mistake, there's some point that you can go back to where you're just fine. And we don't think about it, but in a lot of cases, in our relationships, we desire that. We want to say we're sorry, but we might not mean it. We want that reset button or that point where we can go back to and everything will be just fine. But maybe it's harder than that. Maybe being really sincere about our apology is different. In the Old Testament, the word for repent that is used means to turn back to the path or the way that is God's. And so we'll often hear that as we hear the lessons week after week. Repent and return to the Lord, or you'll be punished, is usually the message in the Hebrew Scriptures. Usually, the kingdom is going along fine unless the king isn't following the right ways, is often the language that is used. And there's a recalling of repenting and returning. And upon returning, you're restored. In the New Testament, the word is a little more finessed. It's a word called metanoia, and it means to have a change of mind, to literally change your perspective, to change your understanding. In the gospel we have for today, we have a little bit of a question that we don't hear. The question is, God, what happens if we sin? Are we punished and destroyed? Where's grace? Basically, is the kind of question that's being answered by the teaching of Jesus. And he says, look, if you were like the Galileans whose sacrifice was all mixed up by Caesar, is it their fault? Did that sin cause them to die? No. If you were there when the tower fell, was it your sins that caused that? No. But repent anyway. Repent and return. Jesus is teaching a new interpretation of an understanding that would have been prevalent at the time, that sin might cause your destruction. To turn. To have a change of mind. How many of you each morning have a routine? How many of you had a cup of coffee this morning before you got up? What happens if you don't have that cup of coffee? It's kind of rough, right? I'm a Diet Coke kind of person, and so I said that earlier, and I was the only one drinking Diet Coke in the church, so I'm not going to do that again today. So, but think about that for a minute. Don't we have habits that we go through? routines or certain ways that we think things ought to be done. Howard Gardner is a psychologist that writes out of Harvard University about how minds work. And he had a really great and particular way about how difficult it is for us to change, to really turn, in a sense, away from habit, to change our mind and the views once they're set in our mind, to change our understanding of the world. He would call it the worldview that we might have. It's really hard work. I think what Jesus is getting at in his attempt to teach us in the lesson today is for us to really understand a true change in our mind and in our heart. If you continue in the gospel or read in other gospels where this story happens, we begin to hear story after story of people who have changed, who have moved from a path of destruction and sin to a path of life and light. It's that real authentic change that Jesus desires from us. Now think for a minute back to a time when you might have wanted to make a change in habit, or to make a change, or to turn from a way of sin even. If you really did the hard work, if you really worked on that change, it was probably one of the hardest things that you've done in your life. It isn't just an instantaneous press of a button. It isn't just a reset or a simple saying, "I'm sorry." It's hard work. To repent or to seek forgiveness in relationship can also be just as hard. Because to change is to do something different. To repent is to turn. So think about that in your life this week. Where are the places in your life that you're looking for change? That you're looking to turn? Maybe your sins aren't that great. Maybe the change is simple, or maybe it's something bigger. It's a hard spiritual task. The urgency that Jesus is trying to get across is that we're all going to die anyway. But get your life right now. That's the urgency in the message that we hear. Howard Gardner goes on to say that to change a habit is to find a new direction. To really do the work is to go down deep inside and even to look and see why that change is necessary. But he also writes that once the change is made, new things happen in our mind. There is release. There is a change in our emotions. There's a change in our whole being. Now think about that for a minute. What must it have been like for the audience to hear this? What must it have been like for those who were pressing upon Jesus to hear that you can change, that you can repent, that you can have new life? I think it meant that the tax collector came and said, "I want a new way." It meant that those who had been harming of others had come and wanted a new way to their life. It meant so many would come forward and would look for that amendment, that deep desire for change. So in your Lenten time, as you go about giving up cookies, think about that change. Think about that need to repent. But here's the beauty of the story. There's unabounding grace. Now, I asked this at the 8:45 service. How many of you grow plants for your daily food? We had some farmers from Nebraska. It wasn't fair. But most of you don't probably look to your backyard for your daily food. In the story for today, we hear an example of a master who has a fig tree. And he goes to his gardener and he says, Why isn't this fig tree producing? And we might miss that the fig tree is a central part of everything in the culture. The fig tree not bearing fruit is to mean the fig tree would not provide its food and its other things that it could be used for in the households of the time. The master says, well, if it's not producing fruit, which means the tree's sinning in a sense, it's not doing the right things, cut it down. And the gardener says, hold on. Let me give it some love. Let me tend its soil. Let me give it a chance to bear fruit. If we desire that change, if our life is one in which we aren't bearing fruit, the promise in the story is that God is going to love us. God will tend the soil around us and will help us and lead us to bear the fruits of His kingdom. We're the fig tree in the story. And so if we go about this hard work of turning and changing, of really amending our life, we do it with the promise of God's grace, not of God's destruction. And that's the gospel that we have before us today. So repent. Repent. And receive grace. Amen.